This is Local Matters with Johnny Manson on 94.7 Timber Country.
7:35, it's freezing cold out. Our guest for the remainder of the hour, I have the honor and privilege of introducing or reintroducing Senator Jeff Wilson to the show. Hey, thanks for coming back.
Well, thank you very much, Johnny, for having me. And it may be a cold morning, but let's start out by warming it up with all the love we got for each other. It is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to your listeners.
It's all about the love, right?
Amen.
Hey, what the hell is the governor thinking? You know, he's fast-tracking gender surgeries. How about, like, lowering our taxes and helping out at the in the pocketbook kind of thing? Where's his priorities?
Well, I don't know, but I'm hoping that the priorities don't involve getting into too many feuds with the federal government. You know, for your listeners, I am a state senator, and I'm highly focused on the needs of the 19th district and the state. I'm trying to not get too involved in, say, other feuds on that political front because... Well, Johnny, I got a job to do, and I need to remain focused and not get sucked into the somewhat of the drama that I think we all were expecting that was going to happen. I just expect really good behavior because we need positive outcomes, and that's going to include, let's pick our priorities a little bit more carefully here, please.
Right. Oh, boy, let me tell you. Hey, if you have any questions for the senator, you can email. You can text message Johnny at Jodesha.com. Shall we go to emergency powers?
Absolutely. You know, we today in State Government and Elections Committee at 10:30 here in the Senate, that's the committee that I'm the ranking member on, we're going to hear a wonderful bill, Senate Bill 5434, and it is reforming of emergency powers. When you're in an emergency. In other words, what kind of power does a governor have when a declaration of emergency is announced? And, you know, everybody here is got to remember just a few years ago, we went through emergency powers by a governor that affected our lives for every day for 2.5 years. That emergency went on and on and on. I think we were the last one to get rid of the emergency. And I'm talking about the COVID years and the powers a governor gets to utilize. The problem, Johnny, is that the power that the governor had was just his. The legislature didn't get a weigh in on these choices. I'm your elected servant. I didn't have any say, or very little that I can remember, on how we were going to run the state on a day-to-day basis during an emergency. And so this bill, I'm very excited. It's finally going to get heard. And I'll tell you that there are over 3,400 people that have signed in for this hearing this morning. Johnny, that's a lot of people. And out of those 3,400 people, 95% that have signed up so far have said this is a good idea. And there's 85 that think it's not a good idea. But ultimately, the public is speaking in again and said, let's adjust and amend the powers that one governor, one person gets to say when we have an emergency. And by the way, this has nothing to do whether your governor is Republican or Democrat. A governor is a governor. And I'm very excited about this bill this morning to put some balance back in because we certainly were missing that here starting in 2020.
You know, during the pandemic, and former Governor Inslee had emergency powers. He used those emergency powers to remove the anti-affirmative action ban that we voters had voted for back when Gary Locke was governor. And I remember Gary Locke wasn't even on board. He didn't agree with it, but he's like, the people have spoken, and that went through. And then here comes Inslee. Oh, I got emergency powers. I'm going to remove this anti-affirmative action ban thing, and will it prevent this from happening again?
Yeah, well, it really, what it says is, what we really went through was the longest emergency, 2.5 years of, say, one person directives and through mandates that were issued, which is the lowest form of law, by the way. It's not the ultimate law. What it does is it gives your elected servants a chance to kind of end the emergency. While we're in session, the legislature can, through resolution, say, all right, we're putting the brakes on the emergency. Nice try. and we get a say about that. When we're not in session, Johnny, and say we're all doing what we do in the interim, our leadership has the ability to get together from all parties and say we're going to end the emergency. So, and it forces the governor, whoever that governor is, they're going to have to work with the elected servants. You know, the rest of us, Johnny, that work for you guys and everybody else. This time, we're not going to be put on mute.
And I kind of said it wrong. It was an affirmative action ban is what we voted for. But anyway, okay, thanks for clearing that up. Housing bills, any housing bills to help us in our state?
You know, I have developed a total of 6 housing bills, some we just dropped recently. I won't get into too much of the detail. Every one of these bills I have dropped is designed to try to put the word affordability into the word affordability. We often say, talk about affordable housing, but who's got that kind of affordability to have hundreds of thousands of dollars for your first starter home? So my bills range everything from kit homes, simple bills, to the do-it-yourselfer, all the way up to allowing local governments to utilize, let's just say, big empty parking lots, maybe in a mall, for example, where we can move around a comprehensive plan on a local government basis, and we can say, look, you can go ahead and put housing on the corner of this parking lot if it's an already developed space, say a corner of it, like I say, a mall or something. When we say we have a crisis, Johnny, in the housing market, and we do, we really do, I think our words, we need to quit saying crisis and start getting bills that put this into action so people have a chance or a choice for housing. One of my bills, though, is not so nice. It is the squatters bill. I do have a bill that addresses the issue that has affected a lot of landlords and homeowners of, you know, you going away from your home or your house and you show back up and somebody's living in it. Squatters is a real problem. Unfortunately, my bill may be a little too much because that's the only housing bill, I believe, of mine that's not going to get heard. Maybe I went too far, but I've heard that from many people that if you own the property, that makes you the property owner. And people that would like to squat or take possession of that, I think my bill should have got a hearing. So fingers crossed, that's my last bill I hope to get out in front of the voters here.
Let's see. Aberdeen City Councilwoman Casey Ann Morrison says hi. She wants to know, okay, the North Shore Levee project is of vital importance to residents in Aberdeen. Governor Inslee left out a promised $17 million in critical state funding for this project. Will the legislature be correcting this oversight for the folks in the 19th that are depending on the successful construction of this project to protect our property and bring down insurance costs?
Well said, Casey. That was, I don't even have to tell your listeners about the project. She nailed it. This is an important project. Unfortunately, this came from a governor's budget, and there was a lot of federal matching, too, that to tie this in. And we're kind of on the ability of so close. We've already completed the Fry Creek, Creek pump station and other levee supports around the neighborhood. This one, I'm hoping, sticks in the new governor's budget. Although the new governor has, you know, made many speeches, we all do, and there's some promise of reductions, I'm hoping that the governor's budget will include this. We are writing letters to support to put it in because, quite frankly, one senator's budget isn't enough money to cover the finishing of that project. There's where the big money through the governor's budget can save the day. And that's what we're doing. We're asking the new Governor-elect Ferguson to write that check. Let's finish this and keep people more more dry than anything else in the Grays Harbor area.
It's about a quarter till. We have one more segment, talking with Senator Jeff Wilson on Local Matters. All righty. We're talking with Senator Jeff Wilson about the legislative session. This is a long session. We're about halfway through it, yes?
Yes, we are, but who's counting? Stay focused and finish. Get us to the end here.
Right, right. Okay, now you have a bill about electric vehicles?
Absolutely. I have actually a couple bills about electric vehicles. I always start with a safety. In other words, are they going to catch fire? And if they do catch fire, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to respond? And so I'm still developing legislation that will set a standard on what do first responders do to put out these, well, these fires that can go for a much longer time than any other kind of a vehicle. And there's some environmental hazards with that. So stay tuned on that as we build out, a responsible practice to, well, how do we treat these emergencies? And by the way, Johnny, my side comment is, don't you think we should have thought of all these things before we pushed how great the car is? My smart remark is, we do need to study the pros and cons of this, but I'm helping everybody get caught up that there was another side to the electric vehicle story, and especially when it comes to fuel. My latest bill, it's the big electric vehicle bill. Let me just pose a question to your listeners. Who wants free gas and diesel? Well, I'm sure every gasoline and diesel, driver out there is going to say, yes, I want that free fuel. I'm going to just point out that Washington State, at public and state-owned facilities, has a lot of these charging stations for electric vehicles. Why is that electricity free? Why should I or anybody just be able to pull up to a state of Washington charging station and get free electricity to put into my car? And I'll offer to your listeners that free electricity is to a car is like free gas and diesel to the gas and diesel engine. It's unfair. So my bill says stop giving away free fuel and insulting the voters, and measure the amount of electricity that an electric vehicle, a car uses. Treat it like a gallon, a kilowatt, like a gallon of gas or a liter of fuel. And why don't we contribute some of that money back into the motor vehicle fund, just like everybody else has to, and fix those potholes? And I know some of your listeners may say, well, EVs pay a higher licensing tab fee. So that still doesn't fix the potholes. I'm going to propose that we stop the silly giveaway game of a free fuel in order to promote the car, electric vehicles, because it's simply not fair. So I'm asking EV owners, including myself, to pay more, their fair share, not more. And Johnny, before you get me on it, yes, I do have an electric car. Yes, it is plugged in right now. But relax, everybody. I'm not, as your senator, taking free fuel. Every year, I write a check, a personal check, to the Department of Treasury here in Olympia, and I pay for my electric fuel as my car's down there being charged right now. And if I can do it and contribute to fixing and our transportation woes, so shouldn't everybody else.
So what's your take on the pay-per-mile bill that they're looking at?
Well, I don't know how necessary this is because, again, I tried to figure out how much free fuel in dollars amount that the state of Washington gives away every day, every month, with all the electricity costs to charge the electric vehicles. We didn't even consider that in the kitty of how much money we're leaving on the table. The road usage chart was really designed to, well, let's go after, fossil fuel burning type vehicles, those gas and diesel operators. But wait a minute. We didn't even figure that in. So I don't know if it's worth $1 million or worth $100 billion. It was because of the road usage chart I started to look and say, we're not even collecting money for the power, the fuel, for electric vehicles at state facilities. So right off the bat, why don't we stop putting the cart in front of the horse and put that horse back out in front and drive this discussion on road usage charts when we have more realistic information instead of excluding information, which I guess skews the opinion that we get to tell everybody. So per mile, I don't think we're there yet. I certainly am not going to support tracking devices. Not a big fan of the GPS. Everybody knows where you're at, all in the purpose of collecting taxes.
So what does a typical day look like for you when you're in session and you show up to work?
Well, like everybody else, I got to get up in the morning. I get dressed, and there are long days. I'm usually in the office about 6 a.m. sharp on Mondays. Get right up early and go. The hours, the days usually range between 12 and 15 to 16 hours a day. And I don't tell your listeners that for any sympathy. I know what the job entails. We are elected servants, and when you get a start and a stop time, like the start of session, and you know you have the end of the session, those deadlines drive you, or should, to get your work done, because we quit work here in Sine Die in just 2.5 months. There's a lot of work to be done. So my typical day is go as long and as hard and as fast as I can to be productive, because at the end of session, it's the end. No more complaining about it. You just have to silence yourself a little bit till the next session. So, Johnny, it's full speed ahead.
Is it hard to get things done when you're in the minority?
Yeah, it is. But there's sometimes blessings to be in the minority. Maybe we have to work a little harder. Maybe we have to really delve into the proposed legislation a little bit more. I mean, we have to study things probably deeper and harder, because if we're in the minority, we're going to have to come up with ways to either support that or to try to stop that legislation. So it's green light, red light, green light, red light. And it keeps us on our toes. There's certainly nothing given. We don't get the gavel in our committee meetings. So our voice is a little less, but we can bring that voice back up by doing more of our homework. And I guess being the underdogs is something that I can be proud of. It teaches us certainly to be humble, but it teaches us how to be successful in, say, a very dominant, darn near bully pulpit that we have now, with overwhelming one-party rule.
We have about 5 more minutes with the senator. If you have any questions for him, you can email or text message. That's johnny@jodesha.com. Any bills that besides your own that you're kind of keeping your eyeball on that you're interested in?
Well, we unfortunately in past due, just last week, the Senate passed Senate Bill 5181. It's the very now famous and infamous parents' rights type bill. And I was deeply disappointed on the way that we had handled that bill. And I usually don't like going on the show and talking about spilt milk and what happened in the past. But I don't believe myself or parents are still over the way we again to continue to limit the rights of parents when it comes to notifications of their children that when they're in public school. It's still a little on the edge for me. I haven't recovered from that bill. I think it was disrespectful. We had an initiative on the process. Olympia should always respect the initiative process. After all, that's the original grassroots government, when people can bring us legislation directly under the initiative process, which is your first power reserved to people in our Constitution.
So this governor says he's going to do everything he can to work against this new administration in D.C. Is that productive for Washington State?
Well, you know, it's just I'm a state senator, not a federal senator, and I will and am deeply concerned that we don't get sucked into the drama. The drama between governors and presidents. Hey, everybody, we still have the rest of the state to worry about on state issues and state problems. I don't want this to be escalated. Certainly, we have other things to also worry about, like our crime, our economy, housing, education. I just pray that the feud doesn't take away too much attention, if there is a feud, that we can focus on the will of the people. You didn't hire me to come up here and eat popcorn and watch any tort of this stuff between our governor and the president. I would like to remain focused, and I ask the president and our governor to also remain focused so that we can get your work done, everybody, for you. So please don't get distracted on what the fight of the day is, because I don't have that patience.
Well put. Well put. You can email or text message any questions for the senator before we have to let him go, because you have work to do, right, I'm assuming?
All day.
When does your day end? Is it at 5 o'clock, or when the work is done, or
It's when the work is done per schedule, and usually, like I say, I average between 12 and 16 hours a day. How I'm going to get out of beautiful Olympia today and return to the home base of mine in Longview, so I should get home about 6, between 6 and 8 o'clock tonight. I'm excited. After all, home is home, but I will be doing homework, everybody. Relax. We're not off the clock. That just means I take my work home with me to Longview and get out of Olympia for a day or two.
Nice. Nice. Well, we have a few more minutes. Email or text message is johnny@jodesha.com. Let's say I have an issue or a problem or a solution, and I think that you can help. How would I get that to you?
Oh, that's my favorite part of being informed by constituents, Johnny. Thank you. Call our office. That's 360-786-7636. Please email me anytime. Compliments, criticisms. Tell us what bidding you would like to do. We do serve you. You can reach me on my email, which is jeff.wilson@leg.wa.gov. I'd love to hear from you. That's what gives me, I guess, my purpose up here. And Johnny, thank you for just giving me the opportunity to tell your listeners how much I'm honored to serve them.
Okay, now I follow you on Facebook, and I get your feed updates. The moles, the battle with the moles, how's that going?
Well, you know, that's that problem, is that there, I do have a battle. I have a personal dislike to, say, moles that want to enter the front yard, the backyard. I don't care where they come. We have a little bit of a feud going. This is going to be an ongoing battle for the end of time. However, I'm happy to report I'm ahead. Believe me, I'm ahead. They'll make their next move. I make my move. But the mole game, less moles for everybody. I wish I could create a law that would say that, but I'll just take it on a personal level.
Are you going to be out and about anywhere soon, like in the public? Any appearances?
Absolutely. We're already working on what we call our town halls. I do like the in-person where I can see people, but yet they will always have the remote option to Zoom in or call in. We're setting those dates and times now, too early to release. But obviously, Johnny, I'm always coming to a neighborhood near you. I enjoy being in person and seeing everybody there. But meantime, you know, it's kind of a stay tuned. We're so busy now with schedule. We're darn near halfway through it, and there's 70-some days left, but who's counting?
Senator Wilson, thanks for spending time with me today.
Thank you, and happy Valentine's Day.
Back at you, sir. We'll talk to you soon.